It's a miracle.
And Ivy, and you are listening to Black, Broke and Brilliant.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be discussing summer holidays and the tunes that get you in the mood. So let's get straight into it.
So before we get into it, how's life treating you, Sammy?
Do you know what? Life is good. I had quite a busy week at work. It was just a lot was happening on this one shoot and it was a bit stressful, but you know, we move. I got through it. I live to fight another day.
I'm proud of you. Every day I was looking at your stories and I was like, this looks like a lot. I'm not going to lie. This looks like a lot, but you survived. You live to tell the tale.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely working on like really great shoots and like fun stuff. It's just with my role, because I just have so much responsibility. It can be a lot if things go awry, but it's all good. And do you know what? Your girl is staying booked and blessed. Mm-hmm. So I can't complain. Like, my phone is ringing. The money is calling. And I'm just like, this is great. But I also have a dissertation to write.
That's the thing. The bag is being secured, but at what cost, you know? That's the thing.
Yeah, but like, I'm not going to say no to work.
You're not going to turn down money. That's just,
I can't.
Financing. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's just not smart. But what I have said is that I'm going to like actually schedule in my dissertation days, because whenever I get asked like about my availability, I'll just open the calendar on my phone, and if nothing is there, I'll be like, yeah, sure, I can work. But if I go in it and I'm like, no, I'm setting this date for dissertation and this date for dissertation, when I then go look at my calendar, I have to be like, do you know what? I can't.
Yeah.
I'm booked. It's the only way.
It actually is. Yeah. Plus, like, you do have a while till it's due. So I feel like if you start doing that from now, you'll be sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to set myself like specific goals to complete by specific dates. That way I'm actually like working up towards something, because if not, I kind of just get lost in the whole source of, I'm technically researching, but what are you doing? Is that actually helping me write? Not really.
I hear you.
But enough about me. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm on day 9 of my 10-day quarantine after my trip, and I'm going insane, Samira. I'm going insane. I miss the outside. I miss Tesco. I just want to go to the post office.
Wait, of all places you want to go to, why is it the post office?
I don't know. I took it for granted. I just miss being outside, just the mundane things. I'm like, what does the sky look like? I genuinely have forgotten. I just, yeah, tomorrow's gonna be a good day.
This just goes to show that like we can't, no matter how many lockdowns we've been through, it's just not human nature to be locked inside, because there's no getting used to being locked inside. And that 10 days quarantine, like, fam, was your holiday even 10 days for your quarantine to be 10 days?
Don't I do you know what, I don't know what happened there, but I have been played. I have actually been played, and I'm not okay with it. I'm just salty. And I should have known something was going to go wrong from the way that I booked that trip. Like, there was no hesitation. My friend was fully like, should I come to Spain in a week and a half? And I was like, okay, bet. Book the tickets on site. No questions asked. And then all these surprises started popping up. And I just, yeah, I kind of played myself. It was the fact that she was like, it's calm. You're flying to Gibraltar. I was like, Gibraltar, greenless, no quarantine, done. Then she's like, but then we drive into Spain. And I was like, Spain as in ambulist, Spain as in 10-day quarantine, Spain as in you need an extra 3 COVID tests that cost 150 quid, that's Spain? She's like, yeah, that's the one. I was like, okay, I fucked it.
Well, you get to tell this great story.
Oh my God.
On this episode, because we are discussing summer holidays. So I think that's the perfect segue into this. So yeah, let's discuss you finessing, or finessing not very well, the whole government to get round to going to Spain, and then it just not turning out into what it was supposed to be.
It just, like, it started off so well. I was like, this is going to be the start of my hot girl summer. I cannot wait. The thing is, I've been buying clothes all lockdown long for summer, so I didn't even have to buy anything. I was like, this is going to be great. I'm gassed. Booked the flights, got to the airport. I was like, I'm living my best life. See you later, England. I am done. And we get there, right? And it's just the best vibe from the get-go. You have to do like a COVID test when you got to the airport. And I was like, that's fine. You stick the swab in my nose. That is calm. I am happy. I am on Spanish territory. I'm having a great time. We get to her house. Let me tell you, she said house. She meant to say mansion. This house was insane. Like MTV Cribs could never. She had a cinema and a gym in her yard, in her house.
Wow.
And a pool. I was like, wow, this is really the life for me. It was incredible. The first day was like, we just went to dinner. We had the best time. The dinner was like, the restaurant was like on the beach. It was just so beautiful. We came back, we had drinks. I was like, this is what I was after. This mm-hmm. is what I needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next day, we were like, in that part of Spain, their clubs were open. So we were like, do you know what? You only live once. Let's go out. Why not? The drinks.
May I just like interject here, because you've said a lot. And even when I saw your snaps of like just the plane at the airport, I was like, wow. I was like, wow, this has not been a reality for the longest time. And then I saw this villa and it looked as if this is where they film Love Island, because house, nah, that doesn't really run. Mansion, I don't know if that runs either. Towards a villa. I was just seeing Instagram snaps and I'm like, Ivy, you look like you're in a Love Island villa. I'm seeing pools. I'm seeing those day beds that they have in the Love Island villa. I'm seeing everything. And then it was when you said the chefs cook, the chefs.
Yeah.
The chefs.
Yeah. They hired
chefs. You had chefs.
No, when I tell you, I was like, this must be a dream. It was the cabanas and the fire pit by the pool for me. I was like, this is a lot. And the chef who was like, I'm just gonna cook you a 5-course meal, I was like, go ahead, who am I to cook you? I was like, this people really be having money. Like I was like, this is your yard where you live all the time. Cool. Like, you know when you wake up every day and you're like, this cannot be reality. Like, it can't be as nice as I remembered it yesterday. And it was always just so insane. I was like, I need to marry into this family because this is the house for me. And I fell in love and I'm just, that's where I want to get married. It was beautiful. Yeah,
I was fully like, find out if she's got a brother, a cousin, a second cousin once removed.
I was like, do you have any uncles? You know, that's okay. I can do age gap if it needs to happen.
You were like, this lifestyle is for me. I need this.
Literally, genuinely, like, I was like, this is what I needed. This was the reward I needed after lockdown. And everything was going so well, right? So we're like, let's go out. We get dressed. You know, when you're all together and you're preen and you're getting dressed. And you're
I miss that.
The vibes were just immaculate. It was going so well. We were just the perfect level of drunk where you just feel invincible, just amazing. And so we got to this strip of clubs, and like I said, remember that we were all very drunk. And we get to this club, the guy on the door says, entry is €75, and I said, take my money. I said, here you go.
Sorry.
When I tell you, the alcohol was doing bits, the vibes were vibing, and I said, take my money, here you go.
I would just like to know where you got 75 and where, like, yeah, that's a reasonable price to pay. Where was that? Where?
Yeah, it was the fact that he was like, you can pay with your card. Contactless is dangerous because I'll just be tapping my way through life and I don't even think twice about it. So yeah, that was a bad decision, which I later came to regret. But at the time, was having a wonderful time. And the club was sick. It was so good. Like, I really was living my best hot girl summer life. I forgot all about the panoramic and I was just doing things in the club. And it was great. Like, what can I say?
Do you remember last year when we were, you know, still in the panoramic and we were in, like, maybe our second lockdown? And we saw videos of people who were, like, out in Ghana and out in Nigeria.
Dubai.
And they were at the clubs and they were at the bars and Dubai, all the Dubai lot. And they were at the clubs. And we were just sat here in our homes being like, wow, people are really, really clubbing whilst we're sat here. That was you. You were really, really clubbing whilst I was sat here. And I was seeing the snaps and I was just like, is this real life?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're watching the stories and you just have FOMO and you're like, I'm actually in pain that I am not there. I'm sorry.
Because it looked like when we used to go out, but it was just you in another club having fun, dressed up, looking very, very snazzy.
Thank you so much.
If I may say so myself.
Thank you. It was one of those like club nights that even like the day after, when you're looking back at your own stories, you're like, that was fire. Like, I was jealous of myself for not being there anymore. It was just that good.
I'm glad you got to have that experience.
Thank you so much. I think my soul actually needed it. So those are the first 2 days. We were having a great time. Then we woke up the next day and the hangover that fell onto us was actually disrespectful. And I'm not going to lie, we were hungover for 2 full days. So
wow,
there were 2 full days where we were just like feeling sorry for ourselves. Those 2 days didn't count. They were depressing. We were in physical and emotional pain. And it was really a sad time, you know?
That sounds like a royal hangover. I don't know if I've had anything like you are described. Do you know what's sad is, like, when you're on holiday and you're in such a great place and the accommodation is great, but then you're hungover and then you lose 2 days.
Yeah.
You've just lost 2 days of being in this great place. And it's just like, fam, why did I do that?
Literally, that was us on the fifth day. We woke up the fifth day and we were like, we have literally wasted 2 days of our holiday. And we'd booked to be there for 2 weeks. We were like, it's fine, we can make up for lost time, right? So that day, the fifth day, we were like, we're going to rent a car. We're going to do up road trips. We're going to go be tourists all around Spain. That day we were like, you know what? Let's book an Airbnb in Seville. On the weekend, we'll go chill in Seville. We'll go around. We'll go see this. We'll go do that. We're like, we are not losing another minute here, let alone 2 days to hangovers. We're like, things are going to be good. That evening as well, we had a cute games night. Just the vibe. We got back on track. Things were so good. Anyway, we go to bed that night. And I wake up the next morning to a text from one of the girls being like, I've tested positive for COVID. And I was like,
That was the panoramic coming back around to remind y'all that you're still in a panoramic, in a Panasonic, in a pancreas.
I was like, Like, no joke. I literally was like, I must be dreaming. And I went back to sleep. I went back to sleep for 3 hours. This is what I do. I try and sleep away my problem. And it was right there when I woke back up. She still had COVID.
Oh my goodness. How did she find, like, how did she know? Because you're saying you just got a text from her the next day. Like, how did she know then and there? Like, she had,
mate, I was pretty like, got a text, and it was not the text I wanted. But she had no symptoms the whole time, but that night she said she felt really feverish and she couldn't sleep. So in the morning she was like, let me just do a lateral flow test just to be on the safe side, and it came back positive. And we were like, well, we've only gone and fucked it, haven't we? And the mad thing about it was, like, I think this was day 6, and we'd been inseparable the whole time. Like, we'd spend all day, every day together. And we were like, if she has it, we probably all have it. And it was just not, it was not the vibe. It was not the vibe that we were after.
You went from having the vibe and the vibe being great and the clubs and all of that to the complete opposite end, being like, well, that's our holiday done.
Literally.
That must have been so, like, yeah, just so scary. Like, how did you deal with that? It must have been, yeah, just
me. It was so peak. So firstly, she was sharing a room with her boyfriend, so we were like, well, if she has it, he has it. At the same time, I was cuddling her on the couch the night before, so I was like, if she has it, I definitely have it. So at this point we were like, we all just need to get tested. So because we were staying with our friend's family, very luckily her mum was like, I'll drive you one by one to the COVID test center to see if you're all positive. So the girl who tested positive initially was like, let me get tested again just to be sure. Hers came back positive. We're like, great. Her boyfriend goes and gets tested. His comes back positive. We're like, great. The third girl goes and gets tested. Hers comes back positive, 343. And we're like, this can't be real. Anyway, I get in the car, I go and get tested, and by some miracle, I didn't have COVID, and I don't know how, but I'm not complaining.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What a story. Fam, how, do you know what, when you told me this, I was actually baffled, because, like, where you were, and you were on holiday, and no one's been on holiday in God knows how long, and it was all just going so well, and then you were like, well, everyone else has COVID.
Yep.
Like, have you got to stay away?
Yeah.
There's some mirror. I don't know if it's maybe because you had like your first vaccine already.
Yeah, probably.
That it just gave you some level of protection, but yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and it was just peak because if like two of them had it and two of us didn't, we still could have like done some things. But the thing is, like, they had to quarantine immediately, and thank God they lived in a freaking mansion because they all had to like just lock themselves in separate parts of the house. And yeah, the sad thing was, yeah, this was day 6 of our trip. We had 8 days left and they had to quarantine for 10 days. So you do the math. Like, they knew that they couldn't fly home on their original flight day. And we basically realized that we couldn't see each other for the rest of the trip. So at this point, I was like, well, I wanted to maybe just like explore on my own, but they live literally in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, I'm not spending 70 euros in a cab to go to the beach. That's just criminal. That's daylight robbery. I'm not doing that.
You see, and you hadn't spent the 75 to go.
Listen, don't tell me that. I had that thought process. I'm like, I played it. I played myself. Like, that, I would have had £5 change as well. Like, I played myself. It was so bad. And then it dawned on me even that we'd rented a car that we can no longer drive. If I could only drive, I would have just done up road trip on my own, but I cannot. And then it clocked to me, I was like, we've also booked an Airbnb that we can't stay in either. So we just wasted so much money. And at this point I was like, I literally can't go anywhere without them. And I can't see them for the rest of this trip. Everyone has COVID. Their symptoms were just coming out of nowhere. This one was like, I can't smell. This one's like, I can't taste. This one's coughing. This one's dizzy. I was like, this is not the life for me. This is not the hot girl summer that Meg promised me. So I booked my flight home and I came back. So that's that. Yeah.
Oh, you really went from like 100 to zero real, real quick.
Yeah.
Are they all okay now?
Yeah, this is the icing on the cake. They are all finally COVID free, thank God. They're all like, I think some of them can't taste still, but they're generally okay, which is a miracle. But they've now gone to all the bars and restaurants and clubs that we plan to go to, and I'm now watching it on my story, having the same FOMO that I was having a year ago that I could have avoided, and I'm not okay with it.
Wait, they didn't come home?
No, they weren't allowed to, like, because they had to quarantine for 10 days. They had to cancel their flights and they literally couldn't come back. So
yeah,
they
just ended the stay. Sorry to interrupt. Right after their 10 days quarantine had finished, did they not just then fly home?
No, they were like, let's extend it. Because the thing is, like, they didn't want to book another flight home because they said something like, if they continue to test positive, they wouldn't be allowed to fly and they'd have to cancel another flight. So they just didn't book a return flight, basically. So at that point, when they finally tested negative, they were like, we feel good. Let's just stay longer. Let's just extend the trip. Let's just go out. And I respect it. But I'm also sat here like, that could have been me, but COVID.
That's the thought process you're having. The thought process I'm having is, you man don't know where this COVID was contracted, but you were out in the clubs a couple days before. You've just quarantined for 10 days. You're now COVID free. You don't want to go back to the club.
Listen, life is too short. Like
got COVID, but you know what? I'm COVID free now. Let's do it all again. You only live once.
You know?
What is this energy?
They've got to have some like antibodies by now, right? That's science, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what?
Hmm.
Let me not talk.
No, go ahead.
Meanwhile, the rest of us 20s here in London are getting our vaccinations. Meanwhile, these are like, got COVID, probably have antibodies, let's just keep living it up. Yeah, that vaccine will see me whenever I decide to fly back.
No, listen, if Matt Hancock can have an affair when he's telling people not to have casual sex, then they can go to a club after having COVID.
Do you know what? A fair play.
Thank you. Thank you. I rest my case.
Wow. But really, you know what? We're setting our standards based on this shoddy government.
I know. They are literally doing up Love Island. They are doing up reality TV shows.
They are doing up Too Hot to Handle.
They are. They really are. I'm like, the producers are doing the most behind the scenes of this government. Yeah, but I think the peakest thing for me was that I calculated it and just on rebooking flights and extra COVID tests and renting cars that we didn't drive and booking Airbnbs that we didn't stay in, I wasted just under £500. And I'm just like a little bit heartbroken. Because that could have been a whole nother holiday in itself. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not really okay.
Oh, the maths has really done a number on you. And the thing is, one of the reasons why, like, it was good for you to go on this holiday is because we were getting our refund from AfroNation. So it was like £200, boom, that £200 can go towards this. And then you're like, cool, all these COVID tests, that's adding up. But you weren't paying for accommodation. So we were like, do you know what? You're saving. All of that there, 500, was like going left to minus deducted.
Yeah.
Far out of pocket. With the Airbnbs in the car, like, did you not get refunds?
No, we did not. They were non-refundable. So that's that on that one there. No, we did not. Yeah. Life really comes at the fast, doesn't it? Yeah. It's just the fact that we had two good days, two hungover days. One day where we were like, we need to sort our shit out. And then COVID. When we were promised a two-week holiday, fuming. I am fuming.
Yeah, maybe don't travel this summer, listeners. And from this, everybody get things that are refundable.
Yes.
Everybody do up refundable, because there's no way that in a Panasonic you can be doing non-refund. You can't, for this very reason, Ivy.
I know.
£500 out of pocket, madam.
Listen, drinks will be on you from here on out, because
you are not stepping out of your house. You can't afford it.
Listen, we are called Black, Broke and Brilliant. I had to stay true to our brand.
Not that true. You didn't have to stay that true.
We've all been there. Do you have any travel fail stories?
I'm nothing that will compare to yours. Like, when I travel, I tend to be quite on it, budget friendly. But no, a travel fail, it was to do with, like, yeah, being at the airport. So just before this Panasonic happened, I flew to Australia and New Zealand. So I left in like December 2019 and came back like 1st of March. I'd booked these flights like ages ago. It was all great. And then I guess I didn't check my email about like my return flight back home to London being moved or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I just accepted it. Maybe I didn't read the email correctly. But anyways, now I'm flying out of New Zealand back to London. That flight is all good. But I had a connection in like Australia, in Brisbane. So once I got there, I'm now looking for my flight on the board and it's not there. And I'm really confused. I was like, fam, why is my flight not there? And then I go to like the desk and I'm like, yeah, I'm supposed to be on this flight. And they were like, oh, it got moved. This one was cancelled and it's been moved like 24 hours later. And I said, excuse me?
No.
I said, excuse me?
No.
And they were like, yeah, this has been rescheduled for months. But during those months, I was living my best life. I wasn't trying to look at emails. But what like pisses me off the most is the fact that my initial flight was the same, but the middle flight, they decided to move a whole day later, not even just like a couple hours. They said a whole day. So it's so confusing, because if the whole journey had just been shifted a day, I would have been fine. I would have got to the airport, realized like, oh, it's not there, come back and just stayed with my uncle for another day. But the fact that that initial flight leaving New Zealand, where I had family and I had somewhere to stay, that one was good. I'm now in Brisbane, where I don't know anyone, I don't have any money, because, you know, I've just been living my best life for the last 2-3 months. And now you want to tell me, oh yeah, your flight's 24 hours. Excuse, like, why would you move the middle one?
No. 24 hours? That is so peak. Could they not have, like, picked up the phone and called you or left you a voicemail? But, like, emails aren't enough. People ignore emails all the time. Could they not have just been like, listen, your flight's changed, leave you a voicemail, problem solved, you know?
I wish. I really, really wish. And because I'd booked the flight through like a third party like agency, so it was like Skyscanner or whatever, I'm now, they're the only point of contact I have. I'm now like trying to call them and get in touch. Our international numbers, blah blah blah, but literally can't get through to them.
obviously, like, the airline is there, but the flight has been moving. It's been rescheduled for ages. It's just like, I don't know if it's my fault, but also I'm like, why would you move the middle one? So I'm now stuck in Brisbane. I don't have any money because I rent it all. I'm like, can someone, I'm now like speaking to the airline desk receptionist, like, okay, seeing as like you guys have delayed my whole flight like a whole 24 hours, like normally you're supposed to put up passengers like in a hotel.
Yeah.
No, they don't want to do that. So I'm like on the phone to my mom. Like, mom, I don't know what to do. She's like, yeah, they're supposed to put you up in a hotel if they delay your flights like anything longer than 12 hours, which is just like standard everywhere. I'm like, but these aren't listed. They're not doing that. I'm calling up like Emirates or what? Yeah, I think it's Emirates who like the airline. Yeah, and everyone's just like, no, if you had stopped, you know, in Dubai, we'd put you up there. I'm not in Dubai, fam. I'm in Brisbane.
Why are they doing up hypothetical situations when you're in Brisbane?
This is not a hypothetical, this is a very real situation. But yeah, anyways, my mum had to end up sending me money. I then had to book a hotel in Brisbane for the night, pay for an Uber from, you know, the airport, which you know is just absolutely costly.
Oh my God.
Take out all of my luggage as well. And then, yeah, I just had like a whole day to kill in Brisbane. So, I mean, I did end up just like going to the beach. Not like going to the beach, but just like spending the day out, like having breakfast. But I had to be really, really tight because I literally did not have any money whatsoever. And then, yeah, back to the airport 24 hours later to catch that flight. And I was just like, you know what? Never again. I'm going to keep checking and rechecking emails. I was having fun, but missing that one email, I really screwed myself up. Like, even if I had clocked, like, the day before, I would have... Actually, I don't know what would have happened because I still would have been stuck in Brisbane. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that is my actual nightmare. This is why I don't want to travel alone, because in that situation, I'd be like, well, there's nothing left to do other than have a breakdown. What else am I going to do? Thank God Mum came to the rescue, though, because that would have been a very different situation otherwise.
No, she has really come to the rescue before, because that happened, or a similar thing happened when I was finishing up my year abroad when I was in the States, and I was flying back to London and all of my flights got cancelled, and everyone was being absolutely useless. Like, all the flights have been cancelled. They're like, well, you could fly to this other place and then maybe get a flight from to this other place. And I'm just like, you're not making any sense. You're giving me bare different options. I just want to get home. I need to get to London. These are saying, well, you could go to North Carolina and then do this. There's a flight leaving. Or you could fly to Chicago and then do this and to New York. And I'm like, fam, I just need to get back to London.
Why is it always on your return home? Like, it's already depressing having to leave a beautiful place and they're trying to make it harder for you. Why are they like this?
But it's like the return is the most stressful bit, because at that point, like, you're tired, you've exhausted all of your energy, you've exhausted all your funds, you just want to be back in your bed. And for these not to be saying, no, this is cancelled, this is delayed, you're going to have to fly to some other place. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I ended up flying to Chicago O'Hare, which I hate that. I've never had a good experience in that airport. Like, every time I'm there, something's always cancelled, something's always delayed. Like, I've never had a great experience there. They were like, oh, we'll fly you to Chicago and put you up in a hotel there. Great. Calm. And then next day you can fly out to London. Fantastic. I get to Chicago at midnight. I don't see any desk receptionist. Oh. This woman back in Pittsburgh told me they would put me up on a... Who is they?
No.
Any voucher for a hotel? I'm wandering around this airport trying to look for someone who works at this airline. Oh, the airline desk is shut. I was promised a hotel in Chicago. It's the only reason I flew to Chicago.
No.
So they could put me up and I could fly out to London.
And there's no one inside. Nah.
There's no one. And again, I had to call up Mumsy and I was like, I don't know what to do.
You hate to see it, because, like, what can you really do when there is no one there? Nah.
Like, I was so mad, because the only reason I took this flight to this other city where I'm not supposed to be is because they said I'd be put up overnight and there'd be a flight leaving to London. Calm. Oh, and then the fact that none of that happened, and literally, like, it ended up getting resolved. I found someone who was at baggage. Explain the situation. She was like, cool, let me take this, I'll be back. She disappeared for, I kid you not, an hour.
No.
And I started to worry. I was like, is this woman coming back? How am I gonna be put up in a hotel? After what felt like 3 hours, she came back with a voucher
And it was like, cool, take this over there. They're going to drive you to the airport. They're going to drive you back. And I was like, thank you.
Oh, my God.
But at that point, I was traumatized. Yeah, the whole returns, I'm not a fan of.
I thought you were going to say she ran away. I was thinking she had run.
I really thought she did. She was like, oh, let me just go check this out for you. And she literally disappeared for hours.
Thank God she came back and actually helped you out, though. Because imagine if not. Oh, my God. It's the fact that the person in the other place was like, it'll be fine. They'll put you up in a hotel. And she said that with her chest.
With
her. Full world, there was no one there.
With her whole entire chest, yeah, she said that. And she put me on this flight to this other city where I was not supposed to be. And she was like, yeah, they will put you, will sort you up. But who is we? Who is they? It didn't, yeah.
She's making a lot of big statements for an airport that's empty.
Ooh, she is making Paul from Blue Therapy type big statements.
She was calculating too much. I can't deal. That's not what you want. I'm glad you made it home, though.
No, Ivy, literally. Like, when I was at this airport, yeah, I was fully like, I just want to be home in London. Like, am I ever going to make it home?
Oh, no.
Will I ever catch a flight? Like, am I going to have to sleep in this airport? I was like, I don't know where my luggage is. Is my luggage still in Pittsburgh? Is my luggage on its way to London? I don't, like, all the questions were just going through my head. I was like, Mum, bearing in mind, it's midnight in Chicago. So it was probably like 4, 5 a.m. in London. And I'm just on the phone to my mum, like, help me.
No, I'm sorry. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. No one deserves that in life. No one. What did you do to deserve that?
Honestly, I don't know, because like every other part of me traveling, like I've traveled by myself before. I am literally so meticulous with everything. Why is it on my return flights? Airlines want to mess me up.
Literally, you're just trying to go home. How is that a crime? No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but those are the two bad experiences I've had travel wise.
Hopefully they're the last. Hopefully just onto bigger, better things, because I rebuke that energy.
I pray. It's always when like I've rinsed my funds. Like at this, I'm mentally and physically and spiritually like I'm done. I have to come home. Like there's no extra funds to just stay maybe one more day in this other city. Oh, we'll just no. Like it's not a possibility.
No.
Just get me home. I can't afford to stay anywhere else. Get me home.
There are literally no other options than going home, because there is no money to do anything. So why are they making it complicated?
I would love to know.
On the flip side then, what's your like best summer holiday?
Oh, there are so many. I remember the first holiday I went on without parents. That was when we all went to Barcelona. So this was just after sixth form. A few months before we were about to start uni. And I remember begging my mum for like months, like since December. I was like, Mum, me, Gemma, Molly and Ivy, we all want to go to Spain on holiday. And she was just like, she's giving me the cold shoulder for months. And then when she finally said I could go, that was so much fun, because it was literally the four of us in like this cute little apartment like right next to the Sagrada Familia. We were there for 10 days. We were cooking for ourselves. We did up clubs, the whole beach strip, mojitos on the beach every single day. Listen, I don't know how or why, but like if you're just on the beach, these random guys will just pull up with a little those little refrigerated containers. Yo, mojito, €5. Sure thing. They tasted fantastic.
It's like they could sense that we were tourists and they just found us. And we're like, yeah, mojito.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Say no.
The fact that I didn't have to, you know, get up and find the beverage came to me.
Yes,
I'm going to reject that.
VIP service. It was so good. I just remember someone coming up to us being like, do you want a henna tattoo? And my friend was like, inject it, do it, sign me up.
Oh, it was just great. We were just such yes mans to everything. And I remember we'd go to the beach like, in the daytime, and then there'd be man them giving out flyers to the clubs on the beach for the nighttime. We're like, cool, we've got free entry before our evening. Yeah. And the great thing about going out in Spain or when you're abroad is like nobody goes out until like midnight. So it's fantastic. You still have your whole evening. Like you can come back from a long day out. We did the tours, like the bus tours. We spent the whole day out going to museums. We come home, have a nice cheeky nap, make some dinner, plenty of time to get ready, fam. We weren't even getting ready until like 10 p.m. All the time to pre. We weren't rushing. We're leaving the house at midnight, getting on the train, getting to the club for one, and that's when things are just popping off. If anything, one, it's still too early.
It's still early. It's the fact that you can like go out, have dinner, have a sleep, not even a nap, you can sleep, then wake up, then get dressed, then pre, then go out, and you're still early.
It's fantastic. It was just absolutely fantastic. I remember one night we literally stayed in the club until like 7. Like we stayed and it shut. And it was great because everyone was there until it shut and like it's bang on the beach. So it's 7 a.m. watching the sunrise. You've just had a great night out in the club. Oh, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, like it hits different when you leave a club. It's daylight. You can just see the sun is like out. You look at the sea and you're like, wow, it's fully daytime. And it's just, it's a beautiful moment. Like England could never.
Yeah, and this whole, oh, we have to start like getting ready at 5, having pre's at 7, we've got to leave and get there, you know, before 9, get in the queue. Nah, like, do you see how much time already has been wasted?
Yeah, it's just not efficient, you know?
It's very, like, clubbing and going out in the UK is very inefficient.
It is. Also, I feel like we found our dream club out there. This club, Opium, along the beach. It was just so good. It was the fact that, like, on the first night we got there, I don't know what happened, but one of the girls with us, she had, like, an ear infection or something, and she didn't want to go out. And one of the other girls with us, I think, had, like, sunburn and didn't want to go out. And we were like, listen, we love you, but we are still turning up, so speak soon. And we just went to this club on our own, and we had a great time. And then the following night, we were like, guys, you need to experience this too. We brought them back. And somehow, like, I feel like the club was, like, €20 entry, and we just managed to finesse it every night.
Free, every time. I don't know how.
I genuinely, every single time, we found a different way to finesse it. One time, I feel like we just sprinted past people. The next time I feel like we charmed our way out of it, I don't know what we did, but it was a great place to be.
Do you know what? I even forgot about that first day. I remember Molly getting an ear infection. I was just like, nah. Obviously it's peak, but I was like, I can't have something ruin this trip. Cause then we spent like 4 hours trying to find a hospital. Then we found a hospital and like everything was in Spanish. We couldn't find who we needed to find with this hospital. And then there was a doctor, but he looked like a vampire because he had these eyes. And we were just trying to get her ear fixed, yeah. But I was like, listen, I know you can't go out because of your ear and you can't go out because you're some. We are going out.
Yeah.
We most definitely are going out. Listen, I have to turn up. Had to enjoy it. And what a fantastic time it was. Yeah. There was never a dead night at that club. And how we managed to get in for free every single time. I think one time we just, I was like, just walk.
Honestly, just walk with purpose, walk with confidence, walk with your head held high, and no one will stop you, and no one did. So literally, it worked.
Everyone else was like stopping, getting their wallet out, like walking. I said, just walk with purpose, straight past the bodyguard. Yeah. And it worked.
And he said nothing. So honestly, that is a life hack for you. But it was just such a good trip, and it was like our first taste of freedom and independence. Mm. And it was just so good. It was so good. It was like, yeah, honestly, one of the best summer holidays to date.
I just love that we would go to the supermarket and like you can just buy sangria and it's good sangria in the supermarket. And we'd like do our little shop. I'd make breakfast every morning. We like cook dinner together. It was just so nice. Such a wholesome holiday. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. And I feel like we bonded. And it was like a nice little send-off before we went to uni as well.
Precisely.
It was so good. And I think it was like, was it the year after that we went to Benicassim?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was also a sick summer holiday. Also in Spain. Spain is just doing up bits, I can't even lie. It was so good. Like the lineup, Kendrick Lamar, 1975. Like it was a moment. Oh my God, like, you know when like every day there is a headliner that you're like obsessed with and the vibes are just immaculate. And again, I like that because we were camping. You'd spend the day like going to get food, chilling, go to the beach, and then you'd get ready. And then in the evening when the sun goes down, then you go to the festival. And I'm like, this is how it should be done.
Yeah, I'm so glad we ended up doing that because for ages I kept trying to convince you girls, excuse me, to come on like a camping music festival because I'd done the one in Croatia and I was like, honestly, like you just have to come, it's literally the best experience. I was like, camping, I don't really like the sound. And then
when you guys decided to come to Benicassim, I was like, this is so sick. It is loads of fun. Like, and as you said, that lineup was just phenomenal. Like, I can still remember the Kendrick Lamar set so clearly. And it was every single tune we were vibing to. We made friends with strangers. We were all just vibing to all of his tunes, just like in the crowd. And it was just fantastic.
Yeah, even like, even I think that was the point when I actually started liking Jamie XX, because we saw him live and I was like, these vibes are immaculate. Even Skepta was there. I was like, oh, local lad, this is great. It was just, yeah, such a good vibe. And I think, yeah, we didn't know what to expect. And the rest of us were kind of apprehensive to go to a festival. I don't know why, but it was just so good. I need another like summer hot country festival. I feel like that's what needs to happen.
Do you remember when we bumped into Jamie XX after his set?
Yes.
I didn't really know who he was, but someone just went, that's Jamie XX. And he was so nice. And he started talking to us and then like took a picture.
Yeah, I was like, wait, you were just on the stage and now you're here. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, he was such a sweetheart.
Yeah. And like you said, just festivals are great, but festivals abroad are just
it's a
different level. Like when you're on a beach, and in the daytime, you can just like literally chill and vibe. And then in the evening, there's music. It's just levels, as opposed to like this whole muddiness that, like, again, I do enjoy like festivals in England, but the whole muddy and the rain, it's not the one. The heat and the sun and the beach, that's it.
That's it. And it's the fact that like, even though you go to the festival in the evening, like it's still warm. You don't need a jacket. You're still hot. Like, it's not the kind of hot where you're like, I need to lie down, this is exhausting. But it's like the nice kind of warm where you're like, this is all I want in life.
Yeah, precisely that. And that's like when summer is really summering and the heat is here. And it's warm in the evening. Like, sometimes even in the UK, like when we have a good summer, it will be 9 o'clock. It's still light outside. It's still warm. I can go out and not have to worry about, let me take a jacket. Is there going to be a cloakroom? You know why? Because it's still warm.
Yeah, exactly. Also, something I forgot. Whenever we go away, I don't know how, you just find people that you know from home. And I'm like, how are we? We're in Spain. How are you doing that? How are you spotting friends and people, friends of friends? What is going on?
It's actually crazy. And I don't know how. I just know people. The thing is, like with Benicassim, so we did the festival and then two of the people we were with, they flew back home to London, and then myself and Ivy, like, we went to Valencia and like spent a couple of days out, and we went to this random club in Valencia that we I don't know, found on Google. And in the club I found someone from two people from my uni who lived next door to me in first year, and I was just like, hey. And Ivy just looked at me like,
what? What do you mean, hey? We're in Valencia. Who could you possibly know in this part of Spain?
It was so random. But yeah, the two people who used to live like across the hall from me in first year, and it was such a random experience. Like, we took a picture, you know, when you're out and you have those club photographers, like, took a picture, he probably printed it out. And I was just like, what a random experience. But then before that, when we were at the festival, so one of my friends had told me that his brother was also going to the festival. I'd never met his brother before, like, in my life, but I knew it was his brother. They kind of look alike. The first day of the festival, literally, as we walk into the entrance, I see someone who looks very much like my friend. I'm like, what if it's my friend's brother? So I just started screaming his name. I was like, this could be a complete stranger. I just started screaming his name. And he turned around. He's like, someone is definitely calling me. And I ran up. I was like, hi, you don't know me. But I'm him, Seren. And like, he told me that you were going to be here. He was like, oh. He said you were going to be here too. And we just started.
I was just like, but we're in Spain. We're in Spain at a festival in the middle of nowhere. How are you recognizing people?
It's the fact that literally, like, there are thousands of people at this festival, and this was at the entrance of the festival. And I'd never even met him in my life. I was just like, that could be him because he looks a bit like my friend.
Oh my god, it's actually a skill. It's creepy, I'm not gonna lie, because you don't expect it. All of a sudden it's like, oh look, it's my friend. And I'm like, what do you mean? But it's a skill.
I just know people.
Yeah,
I'm well connected.
It's mad. Why are you like this? I can't I'm just there enjoying myself. You're like, oh, would you look at that? I'm like, really? Another one?
It's good to know, because literally I could be anywhere in the world, know that, do you know what? There's probably not a friend like not too far away.
True. This is very true. It's quite comforting in a way.
Yeah. I definitely say that one of my best summer hot. Well, it counts as summer to me, because when I was in Australia and New Zealand, it was summer over there. In the UK, it was winter, which is precisely why I cut out. I said, this cold, I'm not here for it. But that is definitely up there with like one of the best holidays I've been. It was literally 2 whole months by myself, just traveling down under. And it was sunny and it was hot and it was warm. And I just like all of my inhibitions, I just threw them away. And I was like, fam, we're going to go skydiving. We're going to go swim in the ocean. We're going to go snorkeling and do all these fun, like super adventurous stuff. Definitely one of my like highlight holidays, I would say.
That looked incredible. Like every day I was looking at your story and my jaw would just drop. I was like, huh? You're falling out of a plane today. Cool. Like you, coral reef next day. I was like, you actually did that. And it was just before the panda bear started as well, wasn't it? You timed it well.
Immaculately timed, because literally I flew back, got back to this UK yet on the 1st of March. And I remember even just coming back and sitting on the train, I was like, I don't want to be here. It's great. It's gloomy. It's dead. I was like, in comparison to the 2 months I've just experienced, London isn't given what it was supposed to give.
This country is just such bad vibes. Literally, the second that the plane enters England soil, you're just like, yeah, the energy is different.
The energy was different. I went from literally like living a Moana fantasy in New Zealand, with like where the greens are greens, the blues were blues, the ocean was clear, the beach was, everything was just like fantastic and amazing. And nature was really giving what nature was supposed to give. Yeah. And then I came back to this and it was just great and dull. And then literally a week later, Morris was like, yeah, don't stay in your house, stay in your house, do this, don't do this. And I was like, it's an actual shambles.
Honestly, oh, I can't cope. I need another holiday. This country ain't it for me. Where do you want to go next?
Dubai. Yes. See, all of you lot who are doing up Dubai in second lockdown, it'll be me, but when it's safe to travel. By force, I must go for my 25th birthday. Me too, I need to be doing up partying with the big champagne bottles in the clubs there. Me too, I need to be enjoying on the yachts. Me too, I need to be on sand dune buggies in the desert. All of that. I need all of that.
Honestly, sign me up. Nella Rose said, I want to shake my ass on a yacht in Dubai. And I felt that in my soul.
Me too.
Like, we need to make that happen ASAP, because that needs to be the life we're living.
The fact that literally anyone can just hire a yacht for the day and go sailing around, and it's literally hot all the time.
24/7. Are you joking? Are you kidding? No.
Do you know what else I've heard on Dubai? On Tuesdays, it's ladies' night. Ladies go anywhere for free. Are free. Drinks are free.
Are you kidding? On Tuesday. I can be in Dubai on a Tuesday. I like Tuesdays. I can go on a Tuesday.
I could do that.
I could do that. Okay. 25 next year.
The energy. The energy that they give in Dubai, that luxury. Yeah. It's going to be me. I'm a spend.
Yep.
Spend. I'm a spend money like I'm an influencer.
Yes. Like, I cannot wait. That is on the bucket list, and that will be ticked off in the next year. I don't care.
It's a must. Yeah. Where else is on your list of places to travel?
Do you know what? Afronation needs to happen at some point. I don't care when or where it is. It needs to happen. I've been promised Afronation, and one way or another, I will be there, and the lineup needs to stay the same. So that's happening.
Fam, this thing is getting cancelled, delayed, rebooked, whatever. We'll be 35 when like we actually end up going to Afro Nation. And do you know what? I'm okay with that.
Listen, as long as Chris Brown and Burna Boy and Meg Thee Stallion are there, I don't even care. I will happily go when I'm 35.
It was really Burna Boy and Coffee for me. No, the whole entire lineup, because they kept adding people. We were like, great, we get Megan too. We got Chris Brown too. And we'd already decided in our head that we were going to clear the crowd when Chris Brown was on. When Go Crazy went, we too would go crazy with our choreographed dance. We had it all set. It was all planned.
Yes.
And then the pandemonium wanted to start.
Nah, COVID actually ruined anything. It's actually not even funny. It's not even okay. I just want to be with my people in the sun, you know? Is that so much to ask?
Evidently so.
I'm fuming. Yeah. Do you know what I also want to do? I want to travel around South America for a few months, just backpack, go climb some mountains, you know?
We said this. Weren't you going to do this with...
I'm not going to lie, I was going to do this with quite a few people. And it did not happen.
Do you know what else I remember? Like, the whole time when I was out in, like, Australia and New Zealand, and we were, like, voice noting, you were like, cool, we got to do this. And we started planning how we were going to travel around South America. But then I also believe you had also planned to travel South America with someone else. So you're doing it with me, okay?
Listen, I've planned this trip separately with four different people. Like, I want to go. When I'm ready to go, whoever is free will be the person I go with.
Listen, when it comes to travel, I will be free.
Cool.
I'm always free. I'm always free to travel.
But yeah, that continent needs to see me. I need to see the salt flats in Bolivia. I need to climb Machu Picchu. Yes. I need to see some llamas. Like, sign me up.
I need to go to Cuba.
Cuba. To Colombia, you know?
Colombia.
To Paraguay.
To Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Ecuador. Yeah.
Cancun.
Cancun.
Literally, Mexico City is such a beautiful place. I went for 4 days. It was not enough. I have to go back. Like, Mexico, you will see me again.
Yeah. Cuba needs to happen. You need to do up Havana, Unana on the streets of Cuba.
For real.
I don't even care.
Do you know what? That brings me on to our next segment. Best summer playlist. So what songs when you hear just bring summer to mind? Or yeah, when you hear these tunes, you know summer has really arrived.
Listen, Passion Fruit by Drake is just summer in a song. That as soon as I hear the I'm like, summer has arrived. I'm like, the sun is shining.
I hear that. Just yeah, just Drake yeah. In general, you can never go wrong with Drake in summer.
Nah, that song is just good vibes. Like, summer days have arrived in that song.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Summertime Magic by Childish Gambino, it's just, again, the vibe, you know, when like you involuntarily start dancing because the song is just that good.
Yeah,
so good. And then Peaches by Justin Bieber. So good. Yeah,
that song, it came out of nowhere, but it was just the timing and the vibe was just very necessary.
Yeah,
and very, very correct.
Yeah, it's like perfect to do like a cheeky 1-2 step too. It's immaculate. Also, Good Days by SZA has crack in it, I'm convinced, because that song, I will play it on repeat for days on end and it never gets old.
That's just such a beautiful song. I love that song. I, like you said, it's just one of those you can listen on repeat, and her voice is just so beautiful. Her voice just so settling, you know?
So angelic, so comforting. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. I'm safe when she's playing. Speaking of, her collab with Doja on Kiss Me More hits different. Like, that song, that is like, that feels like summer 2021 to me. Like, that's my hype song.
Yeah, for real. Doja is doing her thing. Like, she's dropping absolute bangers.
Yeah.
She's dropping bangers.
Yeah. Anything Doja touches becomes great. I'm sorry. Like, I judged her to start with. I was like, say so. Doing up TikTok dance. I was like, not for me. But she's brought it. Like, she's actually killing it. And I'm so glad she's around because everything she makes is incredible.
It really is, yeah. And like you said, with that first song, I wasn't sure it was for me. It did seem like a very mainstream poppy, but do you know what? It made a blow. Good for you, sis. Everything else since, I've been there for, like, bops, absolute tunes.
Yeah, like, she is incredible. Like, I can literally just shuffle her songs and they are all bangers. You can't do that with many people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, last but not least, anything by Kate Renata. That 99.9% album... Leave Me Alone, Got It Good, Glowed Up. The whole album is just hammer.
Yep.
So yep. Good. Like, on repeat, the whole thing is just fire.
And this is why when the Grammys came round, I was like, I'm glad you're giving him his flowers, but new artists? I was like, put some respect on the man's name. He's been giving us tunes and vibes for the longest.
I was just like, new. Like, give him his recognition, but new. We don't have to do that. You don't have to lie. You can just say we're gonna give him his flowers and he's been around for time. We can acknowledge that he's been around. Just because you've just caught onto him doesn't mean he's new.
Yeah, precisely that. And I was lucky enough to see him live at a festival in Australia called FOMA. And the lineup for that was just fantastic. But he was the closer and it was just levels. I'll leave it there because I don't want to make you feel too jealous.
Yeah, nah. Do you know what's actually not even funny? We went to Parklife 1 year. Kate Renardo was playing and I don't know what happened, but we ended up seeing Bastille instead. And I'm not over it.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't at Bastille. That must have been when I just decided to cut from you, man. And I was like, I'm going to go see Mira Messa or Sampha or whoever else was on. I think at that time, I didn't know Kate Renardo too tough. Yeah. But I remember Molly going on about Kate. How you ended up at Bastille, yeah. Peak for you.
I think it probably was my fault. I'm not even going to lie. Because I don't think I was onto him yet either. I was like, do you want to go see an artist that I don't know? Yeah.
So you didn't know what you'd be missing out on. Yeah. It's a damn shame. Really, but I'm sure another opportunity will come up.
Let's hope and pray. What songs are on your playlist?
Okay, so number one, it's going to have to be Location by Dave and Burna Boy. Like, that song will never get old. It will never get old. Dave might be bored of it, but when you hear it, if you send me the location,
then I'll be right there. So good.
I'm in the location. Okay. Send me the location. This year, about vacation. Flight catching. I want to catch flights. I would love to catch flights.
Oh, that song, it just hits different. So good. So good.
The energy. Dave, Burna Boy, what a fantastic partnership. And that song, I'll be banging it out at any party, any summer. Any club when we can go to the still play it.
That is,
I don't care if it came out how many years ago.
Tell me about it. That's the collab that we didn't know we needed, but I'm so glad it happened.
Yeah, that would be like my number one summer song. And then what else would be on my playlist? Anything by Coffee.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yes.
Doors.
Yeah. And then we rise up. Doors.
Fam, she said one word. She said one word.
So good.
She said one word and I'm already caught. She's got me. Doors. I'm there.
I don't even know what she's singing about and I'm singing it with my chest.
Fam, the way I sing those tunes, I make as if I know how to speak Jamaican patois. She just makes me feel things. Like, all of her tunes are absolute bops.
Yeah.
Absolute bops. That feel good vibe that you just wanna dance to. Yeah. She gives it to me.
She is elite. We also need to see her live. If Afro Nation ever happens, that would be great.
By Force, another one of her tunes, which is super underrated, but I absolutely love it. It's called Ragamuffin. And it's a bop. Like, I'm gonna have to put this on a playlist. I may be putting some people on, but Ragamuffin by Kofi, that is a bop.
Yeah, I have not heard that one. I will be listening after this podcast.
I will send to you. Another one, bit different, but I'm gonna throw it in the mix. Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles.
Yes.
Now this song, it's one of those tunes where you just wanna be like in a car with the windows rolled down, just like apps, just vibing. He gives me, I don't know, 70s vibes, but it's a tune. Watermelon sugar. He deserves his flowers.
He did not know that song was about going down on women, but we're going to move past that.
Is that so?
It is. That's what Young Harold is singing about these days.
I didn't know that. Harrison, wow.
I know, came through with the metaphors. Who would have thought it?
Wow. Would you come and see Young Harry?
Yes, I know. I was like, well, that's some brand new information. Okay, Harry.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize for this torrential rain that is now happening.
Yeah.
In case you can hear it in the background.
I was hoping it'd be soothing, you know?
I actually hate it here. It's supposed to be summer.
It's the end of June. I rebuke it.
Oh, I hate it. But back to my summer playlist. Another bop will have to be Slide by Calvin Harris featuring Frank Ocean and Migos. That whole album, he snapped. That whole album just screams summer.
So good. Do you slide on all your nights like this? so good. So good. Yeah. Fire.
Frank, we miss you, Frank. Come back.
I also feel like that song will be timeless. Like, I'll be rocking it in 10 years' time.
Oh, of course.
My children will know of that song.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then have to throw in Queen, Miss Riri, with Wild Thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. That.
Oh, so good.
I think it's the song. It's the video. It's the outfit. It's that the dress.
It's that the dress. Ruffly thing for me.
The ruffles. Yeah, it's the dress. Yeah. And it looks like it was shot in Cuba. Yep. I just want to be in the heat in a nice big dress too.
Yes. It's the salsa movements for me with the ruffles and the vibes. And yeah, that one. Yeah.
And the fact that they remix like an original by Carlos Santana. Yeah. Great tune. Vibe. The vibes is all there.
Honestly. What's next?
I'd say like my last one. This is like a UK old school garage tune, but it's Gold Dust by Shy FX and DJ Fresh.
You know you can't get enough of myself. Yeah.
It just screams London garage scene in the summer. You want to hear it at carnival. You want to hear it.
Yeah.
And when you're out and about, it's just, it's a bop for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That song is like, in a mosh pit as well, that song is fire.
Everyone's doing up gun fingers, I'm watching
it.
It's the only appropriate move to that song.
The only acceptable move is the gun finger. I'm sorry. It's true. What else you can do? No. He signed for Gold Dust? Absolutely not.
You can't do anything else. You can't mine. You can't shake anything.
No, once you are joking.
Head bopping and gun fingers.
The stank face has to come out too.
Of course.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be complete without that stank face.
Exactly. Also, we're gonna make a Black Broken Brilliant Summer playlist. If you like the sound of these, stay tuned.
Yes, and if you also want to recommend some songs for this summer playlist, hit us up on our story when it comes out.
And if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, use the hashtag Black Broke and Brilliant on Twitter or message us on our Insta page. You know what to do.
Like, follow, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Share this podcast with your mums, your grands, your friends, and your boss.
We'll be back next Thursday. I've been Ivy.
I've been Samiracle. Thanks for listening.